Welcome to Black Armada Tales, an actual play podcast. My name is Josh Fox. My pronouns are he and him, and with me are...
I'm Becky Anderson. My pronouns are she and her.
I'm Ed Tomlinson. My pronouns are he, him.
I am once again Nick Bate. I also use he, him pronouns.
And I'm Sue Elliott, and I use she, her pronouns.
Woohoo! And we are going to be playing Lovecraft-esque, a game of creeping cosmic horror. It's going to be amazing.
Who wrote that game, Josh?
It was written by not just one, but two people who were on this podcast.
Oh, me.
Nearly.
No, there are three people here who didn't write it.
Okay.
And you're one of them.
But you do have a Lovecraft-esque superfan, so.
That's a fact.
The Lovecraft-esque superfan, Ed.
The one and only. It was written by thee and me, Becky. Which hopefully will make sense to our very international listenership. I don't know whether you really need to see the rules right now, so rather than trying to share it with you, I'm going to read the rules out to you as we go, and then, yeah, we'll just do it that way. At some point, there's probably going to be a teaching guide like there was in first edition, but at the moment...
Yeah, is that something worth saying, Josh? That we are, in fact, not playing the published first edition of Lovecraft-esque?
Holy shit, I can't believe I just didn't say that out of the gate. Thank you, Nick. Yes, this is technically a playtest test version of the new second edition of Lovecraft-esque. If you've played Lovecraft-esque before, you will recognise just about everything about it, but it is reworked to be more focused on using cards. The first edition had cards, but they were optional. This is much more a core part of the game, and we'll try and kind of explain some of how the mechanics work as we go. But yes, because it's a second edition, there currently is no teaching guide. It's coming, don't worry. Right. Have you all seen that I've posted a link to playingcards.io? That is where all of our cards live. And, oh, I can see somebody's there already. And the playing track and everything else. Has anybody here not actually played Lovecraft-esque 2E before?
I haven't.
You haven't, Nick? Okay, that's fine. I will be explaining as we go anyway. So you all know what Lovecraft-esque is anyway, I think. Well, I'll just say it for the benefit of our listeners. It's a storytelling card game of creeping cosmic horror emulating the tone and pace of eldritch horror stories. The cards are going to guide us to create the story of a lone witness who stumbles upon a terrible evil and their near certain doom. So we'll get into some of the details about witnesses and so forth as we get into the game. But what I will do for now is just explain what you're seeing on the screen. So we've got, in the middle, three sets of locations and three sets of characters, which we'll be using to create stuff in a minute. We each also get two cards, which have been dealt out from the clue deck. So if we could each take one stack...
This is a fabulous playing cards that I set up.
Thank you.
We need to talk, Josh.
Well, let's talk. Definitely do that. You should have at least one, a purple clue card. You might have two, or you might have, your second card might be a special card, which is yellow. I don't know if anybody's colourblind. It's all been written in such a way that it shouldn't matter, but if you are, say so now so that I don't keep referring to the colour. Nope. Right. To start the game, we're going to need to decide on some basic things about our setting. Now, in the finished game, there will be scenarios that we can play. We're not going to use a scenario this time. We're going to create our own. So we are going to have a little look at the location and character cards that we've drawn, and then choose a broad time period and general area for the game that we think will kind of fit with those cards. So I'll just quickly whiz through. We've got an intellectual place, such as a gallery, university, or museum. A subterranean place, such as catacombs, mines, secret tunnels, or caves, and an ancient place, such as a rickety house or mansion, crumbling ruin, enormous tree, or forbidding castle. So that suggests we're probably not in space, for example. And we've got a dangerous character, such as a criminal, gang member, or powerful person, an unreliable witness, such as a child, drunkard, or eccentric, and a local worker, such as a labourer, outdoor person, or service worker. So actually give you an idea of the sorts of settings that won't work with that.
I could 100% make this a space thing.
Okay.
But I won't.
I like space, so I won't argue with you if you want to do that. What do people feel like? Like, I feel like you've got kind of three basic settings for Lovecraft type stories. You can either go for a kind of broadly modern day, possibly more like turn of last century type of a story. You can go for a futuristic story, which is probably going to be in space and be weird and cool. Sorry, not that I have a bias at all. Or you could go for a kind of somewhere older, or yeah, I guess that, I guess you also have an option to sort of go somewhere that isn't Western, but I don't know how well prepared any of us would be to do that.
I think I'm actually horror of horrors gonna ask if we can not do it in space, because the only time I've played Lovecraft-esque, it was in space. So it would be nice to play it not in space.
I'm leaning towards Victoriana rather than present day.
Victoriana would suit me. I don't want to go any earlier than that, because the last Lovecraft-esque game that I played, it was set at the time of the Roman Empire.
Ooh.
In England, and it was the story of the lost 9th Legion, and it was jolly brilliant.
But that was awesome.
I'd like to see something fabulous. A little bit more up to date, and I would totally include Victoriana in that, Ed.
Okay. Is everyone else happy with Victoriana?
Throwing my top hat into the ring.
Yes, but can you be more specific? Can you hammer a rough number to that? Just because there may well be people listening to this who have no idea what you mean when you say Victoriana.
Okay.
Sorry. I thought you were going to get pedantic and say because the 1860s is so completely different from the 1890s.
No, not in the slightest. It's just I grew up in the state of Victoria, and so you could have been talking about Australia in the mid-80s.
That's what I was talking about.
Our Australian audience were all nodding along with you there.
I'm up for like late Victorian.
Yeah. Okay.
So what would that be?
Bustles rather than crinolines. Sorry. Yeah. Did you want something more specific?
Is that 1900s?
Yeah, like Arsene.
Well, so you got up to 1901, I suppose.
Yeah. Yeah, so right, like 1890s.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Okay.
Cool. London, 1892.
Yes.
That's like slap bang in the Sherlock Holmes sweet spot as well.
I was going to say, I'm reading a Sherlock Holmes book at the moment, so I kind of want to just make the Sherlock Holmes gets eaten by Cthulhu.
Is he upsetting you that much?
Isn't he out of copyright this year?
I believe so. So we can do anything we want. Just fucking fuck love Sherlock Holmes up. I'll just say for the audio, I myself do not know jack shit about the difference between the 1860s and the 1890s, or indeed the 1890s and the 1920s, really, to be honest. I have very little historical knowledge at all. So,
same.
Yeah, it's going to, I think I will be aiming for kind of Muppets Christmas Carol, or maybe just Christmas Carol.
Yeah, that sounds good to me.
If it feels like that to me, then I'll be happy. So we're going for Victorian. I hesitate to say London, because, like, Victorian stories are always set in London.
Well, you can go for a university town. Well, some of the things that struck me, you know, like, oh, it doesn't have to be Oxford, but if you take Oxford, you know, it's got, like, those kind of, where was it, these galleries or society places, like a museum. But it's also got the Oxford Stacks, which is those kind of miles and miles of underground book stacks. It's like 2 miles of subterranean underground book stacks in Ox. There's bound to be something like that in CAMS as well, isn't there, and some of the others.
Dang it, now I want to play in the Vatican. But carry on.
Well, it's thematically appropriate. The Pope's just died. The old Pope, not the new Pope.
Yeah, but I don't... Yeah, let's not do the Vatican.
And it's got tons of ancient places, because Oxford was like founded in, what was it? Is it 900 AD Common Era?
Okay, well, I think that we could definitely set it in Oxford if people are keen. I'm conscious that some people would have better local knowledge than others, and I don't want that to be difficult for anybody. Not that everyone here necessarily has great local knowledge of London either, but London's a bit more kind of generic somehow. But how do people feel?
I also feel like the third place that pops into my head when I think of kind of Victorian-ish stories is a seaside town. You know, a Whitby or a...
Folkestone. Brighton.
Or Blackpool. It's grim up north.
Margate.
Very northerly for me, that. It's get altitude sickness that high.
Hastings. It's pretty bleak.
Scarborough.
Down there,
oh, Scarborough. I'm hearing enthusiasm for seaside setting.
I quite like the idea of it being sort of that sort of sea air convalescing kind of thing.
Oh, I like that.
Yes, and we need to come up with a main character, so this is a good opportunity to...
I think Whitby's a good one as well, though, because of the...
Goth weekend.
Dracula connection, I was going to say.
Whitby's ideal, isn't it? Yeah.
But yeah, the goth weekend.
Right, there we go then.
That is pretty northerly, Ed. Are you okay with that?
Is it known for its bracing... and healthy sea air for recovering from ailments.
Like, I'm pretty sure, doesn't Lucy Westenra get sent there in Dracula to get better? Breathe.
After the vampire is drained.
After she's been eaten quite a lot.
Well, that's what you want to do then after that. Breathe a lot.
All right. So we're at Whitby, 1890s.
1892.
Do we even need to specify what the just English seaside town? Late 1800s.
No, I don't think we do, but I mean, if everyone's got a vague idea of what Whitby's like, then that's quite helpful.
Yeah, sure.
Apparently, it was developed as a spa town in Georgian times. Here we go.
We do love spa towns, particularly. Actually, yeah, that's a good point, though, for the listener. Whitby is a seaside town in the northeast of England. It is famous for its association with Dracula. There is an old abbey there. Where is the guy who wrote Dracula actually buried there? Am I remembering that right? Or is that
no? It's just a really important part of the novel is set in Whitby, and I think that he was inspired to write bits of Dracula when he visited there and things like that. But I don't think he's buried there.
So it's a steep hillside, harbour, and lots of fog. The last time we were there, so that's always fun.
Piles of lobster pots is what I remember on the
lobster.
I love Whitby.
I'm going to set the whole thing in a cafe in Whitby just eating lobster.
Hmm.
Let's come up with a main character. We need a main character for this story. I think we've already got half an idea in the form of a convalescing person. But hang on, let me just... I've got some notes here on what makes a good main character. So main character... A good main character is somebody who might uncover a secret in this time and place. A newcomer, an outsider, or someone low status or socially isolated. Okay, so that's who we're angling for.
What's the interaction, Josh, with the character cards that we've got in play? Should it be one of these things, or...?
No, the character cards are for creating non-player characters.
Okay.
And, again, I suppose I should say for the benefit of the listener, the main character will be passed around between the five of us. So there's only one main character, and all the other characters we create will be very much secondary characters, unless somehow our main character dies.
Which has been done in the past.
It has been known to happen, yeah.
I mean, we're halfway there, right? I feel like somebody who's come to the town to convalesce is a... I like that idea.
I'm wondering whether they've been sort of forced into convalescing by their family for some reason, rather than them being kind of... So they're not ill, like, in the conventional sense. They're kind of there because, like, the family want to think that that's the best thing for them to be there, kind of thing.
Or to avoid a scandal, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. So whatever that is, the reason why they're there is not for debate, I suppose, but they're sort of not willingly there, if you know what I mean. So it gives that sort of idea that they're looking for some stimulation. Maybe they're bored or curious or nosy or whatever. So it gives it that kind of reason for them to investigate things.
I like it.
Have you done this before, Ed?
Yeah. Got a t-shirt. Super fan of it. It's got all the autographs. For all the creators.
I was going to say, I can't believe you never got us to autograph your t-shirts.
next drug on me.
So what would the scandal... I think we probably need to have a little bit of an idea of the nature of the scandal, although it's unlikely to come up in play.
Jonathan Cochrane, son of the foreign minister who has run up gambling debts in London.
Right.
Or not.
I Can't see anybody shaking their head. They all look a bit startled.
Oh, yeah, we're a bit surprised, like you've got some sort of character creation engine you've been working on.
I haven't role-played for quite a long time. I've got some pent-up creative energy going on.
So, kind of a bit of a cad is...
Oh, yes. I mean, it's probably not just gambling debts, but we haven't done the X-card talk, so we'll just leave the rest of it to the imagination.
That is a blooming good point, Becky. I kept meaning to do that and then got distracted by other things, but we should quickly talk about safety because it's a very safety... Horror is a very safety-forward sort of a genre. We have a standard list of things that we tend to... What's our standard list, Becky? Bet you remember.
Okay, so our standard list for lines is no child abandonment or abuse, yep. Where child is sort of up to the age of like 16 for abandonment and 18 for abuse. No sexual abuse, no racism, no homophobia, no explicit descriptions of gore. I think this is the group with no eyes. Nothing to do with eyes? Is this the no eye group? No eye torture? No, nothing to do with eyes?
I feel like that might be Liz, but...
No teeth? Nothing to do with teeth torture? But this is not the no spider group.
That's right. I thought it was the teeth. But...
Josh is the teeth.
Yeah, I don't like teeth stuff generally. It squicks me out.
Spiders is Rob and Liz.
And we veil...
And we veil... descriptions of sex and descriptions of extreme violence. So we have it, but we don't have like lingering descriptions, unless you want to ditch that rule for the sake of, because I know that in previous games, I think there was an Apocalypse World campaign where Apocalypse Keys campaign where we had quite a bit of descriptions of disgusting stuff, thanks to me.
Yeah, I mean, I want to discuss the gore thing a little bit as well, because one of my cards may create some level of gore. So do you want me to just high-level gore it rather than get into any kind of really heavy details? Is that what we're saying?
Not getting into the viscera.
Yeah, not too visceral. But obviously,
I think I would be happy with a sort of impressionistic description of gore or violence, such as might be found in a book written by somebody from the 1890s.
Okay. That's a challenge for me. I like it.
You know what I mean? I feel like you can sort of... it, like you were writing it in a poem rather than like you were writing it in some sort of torture porn book.
Yeah.
I'm seeing some people nodding. Everyone happy with that?
I'm happy with that.
Can I just add in the lines? It was kind of implied, Becky, but kind of all of the... types of bigotry, I think, are really like transphobia and all that kind of stuff.
I should have been more explicit on that.
Absolutely lined.
Super. Does anyone want to add anything else to either the lines or the veils before we go on? No.
There is one more thing, given this is Lovecraft-esque, which is no cheap uses of insanity or madness to stereotypically hand wave away things that have happened, or no stereotypical people kind of doing the going mad thing. That's not something we typically do in Lovecraft.
Real briefly on that, because I think there's an important distinction to be made here, which is discussed in the Lovecraft-esque essay on mental health, which you might find enjoyable, is the distinction between somebody who quite rationally has adopted some insane-seeming behaviours because of experience they have had, which therefore make them appear
irrational
to other characters who have not had that experience, but actually makes complete sense to them and indeed anyone else who shared their experience. That was a really long way of explaining that, but hopefully that was clear.
Yeah, yes, no, that's fine. It's if you find somebody smoothing off all of the corners in a room because they don't want the hand of Tindalos to get in through the angles, then they are displaying what appears to be irrational behaviour, but which is perfectly rational.
Yeah. I would also say that some markers of trauma could be appropriate in certain circumstances, but the point is we're trying to avoid a hackneyed, stereotyped portrayal of mental illness. Super.
Can you also remind me of the character's name that we've come up with?
Jonathan Cochrane, son of the foreign minister, sent up north because he's run up gambling debts in London.
Etc.
A cad of the first water.
Dot, dot, dot.
An embarrassment to his family.
Becky, I'm putting you in charge of writing all that stuff down, since you clearly have developed some sort of photographic memory.
I grew up on Cochrane Street.
Don't you?
Named after Jonathan Cochrane, son of the foreign minister.
foreign minister.
Did he have a lot of casinos on there?
Right, we've got a name. I think we've got a brief description of who they are. And we've got a reason for being in the area. Those are three of the things that we require for our character. But we also need a personality trait and something that keeps them going when things get tough. I will just give the list of examples here because people have occasionally got confused about what that means. Good examples include a treasured memory, a firmly held belief, a cherished relationship, or an object of personal importance. So we're talking about things that they derive strength from as opposed to skills or abilities. I feel like it would be better to give them personality traits other than CAD if we can.
Yeah.
Bounder.
Bounder. Dandy.
I keep thinking of Bertie Wooster, and I don't think we should be playing Bertie Wooster.
I'm thinking like a short attention span, like they latch onto different things a lot, but I'm just trying to think of a punchy way of saying that.
Fleeting enthusiasms?
If that works for everyone else.
Dilettante?
Gadfly?
Quite dilettante, actually, yeah. I mean, it does make a nod to old Cthulhu as well.
And implies a whole bunch of skills picked up and subsequently dropped.
Yeah, so dilettante is someone that like has lots of interest in lots of different things, yeah. And never sort of sticks on one thing. So,
but, you know, if we suddenly need them to be a fencer.
Sure. That works for me. Mm. And then we need that source of strength.
See, the instant you said that, my brain immediately went, whiskey, which is probably a problem.
I'm thinking maybe something about proving that he isn't unwell or clearing his name with his father or getting back to London in some way.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say something about having a bit of an inferiority complex compared to older siblings or something like that.
Oh, I like that, yeah. No, I prefer that. That's better.
I don't actually know what an inferiority complex is, so I might just have used that word.
So it means like that maybe he was always thought of the least in the family, or I was listening to a thing about Evelyn Waugh the other day, like the older brother is the one that the father thinks is great, and so Jonathan's always been trying to prove, which explains the dilettante thing, maybe he's tried lots of different things to try and...
Yeah, but the trouble is he actually is a bit shit, so...
Well, yeah, he never sticks at anything long enough to actually excel at it, or in his father's eyes, maybe.
I like where this is going, but how is this a thing that gives him strength?
Yeah, so it's a desire to prove everybody wrong.
To prove that he's not that, yeah.
And maybe to prove himself wrong.
Prove to his father, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Does that work? You look a bit, you kind of thoughtful, Nick.
Oh, that's just my resting thoughtful face.
God, you and your resting thoughtful face. Okay, great. So I think hopefully somebody's writing all this down, and we're now going to move to...
I'd just like to clarify that when Josh said he set up a Google Doc and I got into it, basically he saved a document with a name.
Yeah, that's right.
Nothing else.
It's what I do.
Yeah, I've been duped by that one before.
Would you like a cup of tea? Great. Can you make me one while you're up?
Listen, I'm facilitating this session. I resent the implication that I'm not doing anything.
Oh,
yes, I am. Right. So the first player is going to be... Now, rules as written, currently, the first player is whoever has most recently had a terrible cosmic realization. This may or may not make it into the final rules, but I'll take bids for who's had a terrible cosmic realization.
It's been quite a lot in 2022, so it's hard to know when the last one was.
Well, we were all there when Liz Truss got elected, so at the very least, whoever heard that first, I suppose. Anything else happened that qualifies? This is why this rule's got to go, I'm afraid. Nobody's willing to own up to it.
I think my problem is that I've just become so cynical that nothing horrific surprises me anymore. You know, like Elon Musk taking over Twitter, tanking Tesla's shares in the process and behaving quite egregiously in public. And it's just kind of like, well, nothing about this situation surprises me. So
it's going to be an interesting game for you, Becky, I
think. Yeah.
The whole Greta Thunberg pizza box thing seemed like such a gigantic, like, karma punch in the face. It was kind of almost unbelievable, that whole thing.
Have you seen the Columbo memes that it spawned? They are very good.
I've always got time for a Columbo meme.
Yeah.
Love Columbo.
I always have a picture of Columbo to put on the bottom of emails at work.
In fact, somebody did how each of the five major detectives would have broken that case and described it, from Sherlock Holmes through Poirot, Jessica Fletcher.
You'd have to share that, wouldn't you?
Columbo, it's really good. I'll try and find it.
You got Daniel Craig. Please.
No, I don't think they did do... Oh, I've seen some Daniel Craig ones, but it was Miss Marple, Poirot, Jessica Fletcher, Columbo... and Sherlock Holmes. So, oh, and Monk, whoever that is, that made no sense.
We are going to play this game, Becky, and you're going to stop talking. You're going to be on the naughty step again.
Unless, has Becky just volunteered herself?
Yeah, I think Becky's volunteered herself. Absolutely, that's exactly right, Becky.
Now you've come to that cosmic realization.
This is my cosmic horror.
Cosmic realization is that you have been a very, very bad girl. Okay, so. You get to choose from one of these six cards in the middle here.
Yeah, I do.
We've got three location cards and we've got three NPC cards. You can choose any one of them and then create a character inspired by that card. When you do so, please read out the card so that everybody knows what you're...
Sorry, I have to create a... I can choose a place and create a character. So
one place or one character.
Well, in that case, I'm going to choose a local worker.
Great.
I'm going to create... Davy, who is at the same age as Jonathan Cochrane. I'm going to put that at 21. Davy is a fisherman, and he's been working on the boat since he was 15. So he's been doing it for quite a long time, actually, and he's very good. And he knows the seas and the channels all around this area. And he's generally a reliable... He's everything that Jonathan isn't. I mean, obviously there's a class difference, but he is steady and reliable and a good friend and a devoted son and an excellent husband and a hard worker and all of those things.
Perfecto. Could you please write that down in your own words in the Google Doc? And we will, now that you've used that card, we will take that card.
Yes.
And place it in the discard pile. And then we draw a new character card and pop that in its place. Now, next person in alphabetical order by first name is Ed. So, Ed, you now get to do the same, but we've got to get to three locations and three NPCs, so just bear that in mind.
Okay, well, I'm going to go with the ancient place then. Uh-huh. The ancient place is the health spa that Jonathan is staying at.
Ah, how ancient is this health spa?
Well, it says rickety house or mansion, so I'm thinking, yeah, it's difficult when it's Victorian times, isn't it? Because then it's kind of new.
Well, but, has it always been a spa, though?
I'm just trying to think. So I think it's Georgian or early Georgian, right? That would be old enough for it to be. I'm thinking like a bath spa type of Georgian style building, but in Whitby. So it was built around the spa. For the healing properties of the spa.
The spa can be, like, super old, then.
Oh, the yeah, the spa, yeah. Under, it's built on or around, is you know, was used by the Romans, probably.
Or dinosaurs.
Or ailing dinosaurs, indeed.
It's a sort of paleo, what's the name, B-Day.
Yeah. I'm just wondering, yeah, I mean... It probably wasn't used by the wealthy, but has recently had a sort of facelift to encourage wealthier health tourists to the area. Does that help? Do you want more detail, or do you want to leave some mystery there?
That's a perfect amount of detail, Ed, because we can develop more as we go. It's just to give us the kind of details that makes it easy for people when they're trying to come up with clues and stuff. And then, where's it gone? Ancient place goes in the discard pile, and I think it's me next, if I'm right. Yes, I am right. I've done my alphabet correctly. So the new card is Abandoned Place. I think I like the Abandoned Place. And I think in our version of Whitby, there is an abandoned lighthouse. I think in real Whitby, there is a non-abandoned lighthouse. But in our Whitby, the lighthouse has long since been abandoned for some reason. Maybe it's been replaced by a better version. So the old lighthouse is on the rocks opposite the new lighthouse. And it is a grey forbidding sort of spike with the glass all broken. And the stairs are known to be precarious. But yeah, you see it as you come in. Even on a foggy day, it will loom up out of the fog. So I'm going to call it the old lighthouse, and I'm going to put that in the locations list. Next up is Nick.
So did we get a new location, right?
Yeah.
A forbidden place.
So we're only allowed one more location.
Yeah, and I'm going to snaffle the one more location. I'm going to give us an intellectual place. And I think the intellectual place is a room upstairs in the Black Horse Inn, which is an actual inn in Whitby. I've never been in it. I have no idea what it looks like, but it sounds good. And was apparently around in the 16th century. So the Black Horse Inn, and there's a room upstairs with a fireplace where local intellectuals meet to hold their debates and enrichment activities, and stuffy old gentlemen sit around in chairs while the rain smashes against the window and smoke cigars and argue about whatever they feel like arguing about today.
Is this an official intellectual gathering that happens, or is it just that people go there to...
No, I think there's a society that gathers there, like a local society.
Okay.
I don't have a name for them.
Name it after some philosopher, I would.
Yeah.
Epicurean society.
Not that.
That's a real life thing.
Yeah, but it makes me think of food.
Right, but they could eat food while discussing philosophy.
Sure, but this is not... That makes me think like there are food-eating societies where my brain goes there.
Oh, you should call them the Stoics. Well, they should call themselves the Stoics.
That works great for me.
Because that's super, like...
Nobby.
Nobby, yeah.
Right, so the Stoics of Whitby meet in the upstairs room in the Black Horse Inn.
Lovely. So now, Sue, you are going to have to create a character using one of these three character cards.
Okay, I think I'm going to go for a dangerous character, and I think he's going to be the on-call physician at the spa. So the spa is sort of one of the places that he looks after. So if anyone has, you know, a sore throat, they'll just call him up and he'll immediately come to the rescue for their rich patrons. And I think he's a very athletic man for his age, and he's really into calisthenics and cold water swimming and just quite an outdoorsy type of guy. He won't hesitate to prescribe something like cold water swimming to help with whatever ails you.
That's fair.
So is he dangerous because he's athletic?
Well, it's suggested like someone powerful or influential. So I just saw it as like he's in a power dynamic in a sort of convalescent home. I imagine a doctor's kind of got a fair amount of influence there.
Cool, excellent. And that now swings around to you again, Becky, I think. Get to make a second character, you lucky thing.
Cool, right.
Sue, can I ask a question about the doctor? Just quickly. Yeah. So does he abuse his authority? in some ways? Is he like, do you see him as somebody that says, well, if you want to get out of here, you better like do what I say? Or is it simpler than
I
that?
I suppose I'm not sure how much to define up front. That's the thing with, like, I'm not sure.
Okay, that's fine. No, that's fine. If you can introduce stuff, if you're open for him to be dangerous in different ways, that's fine.
Yeah, I think people should feel like once created, these characters are open to anybody to further develop in a scene. Okay. They're not owned by the person who created them. However, having said that, I see you should probably give the Doctor a name and cool. Scribble it down.
I will do that now. Dr. Mason.
Ooh.
Big Mason's arms.
From all the swimming.
Yes. I was going to say, do you think the Victorians would have called it cold water swimming, or is it just swimming?
Swimming. Didn't they call it, like, taking the waters?
Did they? Jesus.
Or is that the Georgians?
In spa towns, they would have taken the waters. Mm. I don't know. At seaside resorts, it was like something to do with ozone, wasn't it?
What's
to do
it?
With like the sea air, sea that they air, called yeah. ozone.
Well, yeah. People still say that now, don't they? Right, Becky, give us our third character.
Yes, I thought of Mrs. Anne Honey. She is a widow. She is in her 50s, and she is the historian / archivist of the Stoics Society.
Mm.
So I'm taking that from the old-fashioned character, and she is someone who has meticulous record-keeping, which she takes great pride and pleasure in. Her handwriting is beautiful, and, well, what doesn't happen here and didn't happen here in history that she doesn't know isn't worth knowing.
Super.
I'll write that down.
Please do. Right, so we've got our starting locations and characters.
Do we know what Jonathan's age is? We haven't got. We've got Davy's age. Is he the same age as Davy?
I implied he was the same age as Davy, or thereabouts.
Okay.
How old is Davy? I didn't notice 21. You in that down. 21, okay. Okay, fine. So a young, but not a minor.
Does anybody have a... I don't know if this matters, but does anyone have a mental picture of Jonathan? What does Jonathan look like?
I think my mental picture of Jonathan is that guy from the Regency show that was very popular recently.
Yeah.
Do you mean Benedict from Bridgerton?
I do mean Bridgerton. Is Benedict the older brother?
He's the one of the older brothers. He's like the second oldest. Yeah. What do you mean?
Oh, I was thinking of the oldest one, the one who actually becomes the Duke. Sorry about that, everyone. Spoilers.
Spoiler. He's the Duke
at the beginning, isn't he? sorry about that. Not spoilers.
I just tried to Google Benedict Bridgerton and got Eggs Benedict near me. So.
Ooh. Do you like Eggs Benedict?
Well, our character is definitely not Eggs Benedict, although that would be quite a good nickname. They were called Benedict, and their nickname was Eggs. That would be amazing. Anyway, they're not.
So it's somebody from Bridgerton. It's not Benedict from...
He's the Viscount, isn't he? Yeah. I can't remember his name.
Anthony,
that's it, because it's alphabetical, isn't it?
Yeah. Do you remember when we talked about Bridgerton on the Slack? We used to refer to them as Bridgerton A, Bridgerton B, Bridgerton C to distinguish them.
Yeah.
Yep, all right.
Happy days.
Happy days.
The happy Bridgerton world.
I think we need a Bridgerton Lovecraft-esque scenario, don't you?
Ooh, here he is playing croquet.
There you go. That's exactly the kind of thing that Jonathan has learned to be quite good at.
And climbing out of a lake. I am shocked. Climbing, dripping out of a lake.
Nick, have you not seen Bridgerton?
I have not seen Bridgerton, no.
Oh, lordy.
I got a lot of homework to do. It's a good thing there's a short gap between recordings.
We could go and watch Bridgerton. Just bear in mind that this character does not sound anything like Anthony, I don't think.
Cool. Thank you. That's very helpful.
Right. Good-o. Thank you for listening to Black Armada Tales. We've been playing Lovecraft-esque Second Edition by Josh Fox and Becky Anderson. Lovecraft-esque will be coming to a crowdfunding platform near you later this year. You can also find the first edition on blackarmada.com, and if you'd like to keep an eye out for the second edition, you may want to sign up to the Black Armada mailing list. We'll include a link to that in the show notes. See you next time.
Who's doing something weird with their mic?
I think it's Ed.
Yeah, I thought it might be Ed. That's it. Whatever that was, that needs to stop.
Every time you press
your, that shit right
your
now,
mute
Ed.
Button, Ed, it goes... just like that.
Does that come up in your waveform? On Audacity?
So loud, I wouldn't be surprised if it came up in my waveform. Do that again, Ed. It does very slightly come up in my waveform.
Sorry, I will.
Okay,
get
you're gonna
switch.
Have to stop using the software mute, the hardware mute. I'm afraid. No, stop.
No, he's muted himself. Oh no, he's talking to Dr. T.
God, it looks like.
I'm wondering.
God
if
is angry.
The noise of it is so loud that even Dr. T is like, "Stop like, fucking muting your mic! That stupid
earthquake
button.
Happening.
What's going on?"
Oh dear. How was your Christmas soup?
It was very fast. Felt like it was over really quickly, which I'm a bit annoyed about. But yeah, it was good. It was really nice, and we went for a big walk on Boxing Day, so that was cool.
So did we.
Don't press that button again, Ed. You're going to have to mute yourself some other way.
What if I need to mute?
You're just
be very
to not
quiet.
Do it.
Because my daughter comes in complaining that I've lost her school books, even though I haven't touched her school books, because it's school tomorrow.
Ed, when you
oh
do
my
it...
Oh my God, are yours going back to school tomorrow?
Yeah. 9th of January. I don't know what the hell's going on there.
I don't know what the fuck's going on with the 9th of January either.
That's fucked up, but I'm not going to let this topic get off this fucking button because Becky says that your sound is showing up on her waveform.
Very minorly, but I can see it.
Maybe it's okay. It doesn't usually matter. Like, is this a new headset?
No.
I've definitely heard this sound before.
You have
heard it before.
Right. Hmm.
I'll just have to spend a lot of money on an expensive headset. All right?
You know, I'm really worried because I've remembered that my headset was supplied to me by my work. And as people who've been closely reading the Slack may have seen, I am seriously considering leaving my work to get myself my own fucking headset. I don't like the sound of that at all. I had to pay for a headset? What?
Well, like the work have given me a headset, but it's got a USB connector and I've got a Mac, which apparently USBs don't exist anymore. So,
oh, I've got an adapter for you here, Ed, if you just want to nip down to mine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can we just pause this for like 4 hours?
Yeah. Wouldn't it be weird if I just disappeared off screen and then appeared behind Nick? That'd be amazing.
That would be amazing.
Unfortunately, I can't do that.
I could, though. I could.
Can we get Lisa to put on an Ed mask?
Yeah, I'll do action image exchange, if that's possible. If anyone remembers that.
Well, you could record yourself a background with you in it. And then, oh no, hang on. It'd have to be the other way around. Oh, never mind. This is an impossibility, sadly.
Should we do, like, some silence?
Oh, yeah. Like clapping.
So,
a clap.
Yeah, I don't think I explained this to you, Ed, did I?
Wait, is this your first time, Ed?
It is,
Ed's first time.
Welcome.
Popping his podcast cherry. Actually, I'm not sure whether we're popping your podcast cherry, are we, Ed? We're popping your Black Armada Tales cherry for sure.
Yeah, I don't think I've been on a podcast, no. I've been on some actual play videos, but that's about it.
Very exciting.
With some pretty high-profile GMs. Just saying. Not really.
Yeah.
I think I was a GM, actually.
So, the way that we do this, we're going to all get time.is up.
What's that?
If you could just put it into your browser, time.is.
Time.is.
Oh, right.
This is how the cool kids synchronise watches these days.
Right.
And uncool kids also.
And us.
We will, once everybody's got their time.is up,
yeah.
We will declare a time that will be the starting time. And when your time.is ticks over to that time, you will clap. And then 1 second later, you will clap again. And then 1 second later, you will clap a third time. So, for example, if I say at 10 seconds past, then 3, 2, 1, you would clap now, now, and now. No, don't do it.
Oh, whoever's doing you that. Wanted me to.
I was just okay. Now you're going to really confuse me, Becky.
All right.
It turns out it's Bitcoin's birthday today as well. That's an interesting
Bitcoin's
fact.
Bitcoin's birthday. You get all sorts of interesting facts from doing this. And then after we've done that, we will have 20 seconds in which we are all silent, but keep up, but do not mute our microphones so that I can get the noise profile, which I'll use to denoise your audio.
My Simple noise us. Profile includes a drummer playing the drums over there. Uh-oh. Lisa probably watching some television down here.
Rafi's practicing tornado kicks up in his bedroom. I can see that on my profile, my audio profile.
Well, anyway, maybe we should make it more than 20 seconds, but it's 20 seconds, all right?
A couple of hours.
So, yeah, 2.5 hours of silence.
Shall we go on 15?
Yep.
I'm nervous now.
I understand.
I get nervous too.